I'm Joy Robertson, and this is Inside the Food Channel. Hey everybody, it's Joy. It's been a while, but we have been out of town. Locke and I were in New York City, and we somehow, even though we were just there for, what, 2.5 days, we managed to do some pretty decent damage on the food scene there, for sure. So, refresh my memory. When we arrived, it was a Monday afternoon, and we had work to do. Where was it that we started?
We headed out and initially were aiming to go to Eataly. We were over on 47th Street and 6th, and we decided to walk, which Eataly is down on 5th and really close to Chelsea. So we sort of set out on a little adventure and discovered a lot of interesting little places along the way, from this lovely little place called the Big Booty Bakery. Big Booty Bread Company, sorry.
Yeah.
And the Trailer Park Lounge, which now I looked it up online, Joy, and I really wish we would have went in instead of just talking about how awesome it was, because I found out it is the 6th most kitschiest restaurants in America. There's a list, and it is number 6. And I am so, so kicking myself that we didn't make it in there because we had a mission to get to Eataly.
Yeah, and it's funny because we also had a mission to shoot some video along the way. And in our quest to get this video shot and uploaded, we ran out of battery. So we were in need of power and also pretty much all the time in need of a cocktail. We figured we'd mix the two. Where can we go to charge ourselves and charge the equipment? And so we wind up at this wonderful bar in or around Times Square, the Pig and Whistle. And the staff could not have been nicer. Walked in the door. I said, look, we're here to have some drinks, but we also need an outlet. Well, there are outlets around the bar. So we were able to recharge. I got a great big Manhattan. First crack out of the box in Manhattan. It was fantastic. Locke, you got some kind of an orange something or other drink that was really nice because I tasted it. But I think the coolest thing that we found there was the pulled pork sliders.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it was so interesting because here we are maybe a block away from Times Square. And you can see where sort of like the tourism starts to dissipate out. And you walk in that bar and there's like 8 people. And none of them are like touting cameras or tourist bags. And it was sort of one of those really interesting moments of there's thousands of people 50 feet away. And no one is walking in here because it's not like a tourist spot. But, oh man, those pulled pork sliders were absolutely fantastic. They had this really, really nice little brioche bun, and the fries that came with them were just absolutely outstanding, and it paired so well with the drink that I had, and it was just such a nice little sort of discovery that we didn't even intend on having happen.
Exactly, and, you know, we sat there pondering this whole thing. Where is everybody? But then again, it was mid to late afternoon on a Monday. You know, it could be that everybody's kind of done from the weekend. It's Monday. We're not going to be, you know, but the crowd that was in there seemed completely comfortable, looked like they'd probably been there before. I will put this on my to-do list next time I'm in town. They were fantastic. It's a beautiful spot. Apparently, there's more than one in the city. I'll have to research this, and I'm sorry I haven't done it yet, but I will absolutely go back there. So we continue our trek toward Eataly. And it runs in my mind, and you're so right, those two places we passed, Big Booty Bread Company and the Trailer Park Lounge, sick that we didn't go in there or go back. We will. Next trip, we'll go back. Anyway, so we make our way to Eataly, and I'm getting there. It's been open a few years. It was everything that I had pictured it to be based on all these wonderful reports that I had had. And what was it exactly? We went and stood at those tables and wound up with some kind of a salami and cheese plate that was nothing short of divine.
Yeah, that was something I had on my first trip to Eataly. And is something I've had on every trip I've been that I've made it down to Italy since, because it's just this fantastic, it's a sampler plate of some of the best stuff that they've got at the salami and cheese section of the store. If you're unfamiliar with the way Italy is laid out, it's sort of like there's a grocery store and a restaurant component for every section of the store. So there's one for where there's the meat section, there's a meat restaurant. Where there's the pizza and pasta section, there's a pizza and pasta bar. So you just sort of go around and then you get up to the deli section. And it's just standing room only. You just walk up, you get a little standing table, and you just indulge. And you walk away, and it's just the greatest sort of feeling ever, because it's such simple food, but it is so satisfyingly delicious.
One thing I learned was, I said, are there olives on this plate? And there were not. And I said, I'd love a few olives. And the guy says, well, here's some, you know, here's a container of olives. It was a container. It was huge. It was huge. And Locke, you're not much of an olive person. So I wound up with like a pound of olives all to myself, which I wound up taking back to the hotel because I had so many left. But I had a really nice red wine. I couldn't tell you what it was. Have no idea. You had a Prosecco. Life was fabulous. And then on our way out, Locke treated me to gelato. And I had some kind of a banana. I don't know if it was a banana walnut or something, but it was banana and then the salted caramel. And it was fantastic. You, on the other hand, had, what was it, fruity, right?
Yeah, I always do the sorbetto, and I do the raspberry and the lemon paired side by side. I've tried a couple of different pairings of them. The chocolate and raspberry is something I would highly recommend because it is very, very good together. But the lemon and the raspberry is this really nice sort of clean palate cleanser, and it sort of sets you up for your next food adventure if you're going to go eat more that night.
How did I not get a bite of that? Boy, I screwed up there. I would have totally taken a spoonful out of that one. Okay, for the life of me, where did we go from there? I remember walking around. It was so nice, eating the gelato, and eventually we wound up at a pizza place. Was that next?
Yeah, well, initially we had wanted to see the old Limelight nightclub. Yeah. And my phone sent me in the wrong direction. So we wound up going to Rockefeller Center and wandering around the plaza. And we went to go see if we could make it into Bouchon before they closed. And of course they had already closed. But I looked at what street we were on, and I had remembered where my favorite little hole in the wall in Midtown was for pizza, and realized we were two blocks away. So that's exactly where we headed.
And that place is?
It's a little place called Bella Napoli, and it's right between, it's wedged in between Rockefeller Center and Times Square. I want to say it's on 44th or 45th between 6th and 7th.
We can always, you can Google it if you want to know, but it was wonderful. It's one of, you know, a lot of those little pizza places, really small. They've got all this pizza sitting there, and what they do is they let you pick what you want, and then they heat it up for you. So it's really nice and hot and bubbly, just like you'd get at any pizza place when they bring you the whole pie. You just get your slice. I had a wonderful, after all of this we'd already had, the sliders and Italy and gelato, I had a great big fat piece of this fantastic veggie, because it was just so colorful and so crunchy and pretty, and it was wonderful. I had a nice glass of wine, which actually was like the little Gallo bottle of Chardonnay, and I just drank it right out of the bottle. Nothing but class right here all the time. Anyway, wanted a little wine with my pizza. It was good, but tell me about yours. You went with, was it just the straight-up cheese?
It was the straight-up cheese, you know. One of the things, and I've made my way around Manhattan to decently sort of like groom through the pizza, everything from like the really, really sort of tourist trappy side all the way down to just sort of like rummaging through holes in the wall and trying to decipher what the real difference is between the 99-cent slice and the $1.29 slices. But it's just a simple cheese pizza of New York-style pizza is sort of a good way to figure out what, you know, the grade scale is for the type of pizza, because you can get a taste of the cheese as well as the sauce, and then you can also get a nice little taste of the crust without anything else sort of overpowering it. And then from there, I like to start venturing out. Once I find the places that I like based on the cheese, then it's like, okay, let's start throwing some toppings on and go from there.
You can't really miss with the cheese and the pepperoni. I mean, if it's your first time there, unless something strikes you, That is a fantastic place to start. That, you know, nice drippy cheese and the big, big slices, big, big foldable slices.
Yeah, and on that note, if it is sort of like you're wanting to experiment a little with New York pizza, there's a great little place in the Village called Rosemary's, and you can select what you want on the pizza, and they have a very, very nice sopressata to put on top of a five cheese blend pizza. Absolutely one of my favorite things in the city to go do whenever I can make it down into the Village area. Otherwise, just the cheese and the pepperoni is just, it's perfect. You can't mess with it.
We'll put that on our list for our next trip. Now, if all of this wasn't enough, it was getting late, but I had a must-do on my list, and I know, Locke, you were like, I have no idea where you're taking me, Joy, but we're going to go check it out. Rudy's Bar. I have wanted to go to Rudy's Bar forever. They mention it in the Steely Dan song, Black Cow. I've always wondered about Rudy's. I've found it, but I've not been until this week. Thank you, Lord, that I found Rudy's, because what a great spot. Such a comfortable place. It's a little dive bar, and it is perfect. I had a Rudy's Red, and they have free hot dogs. I did not have a hot dog. I'm shocked after all we ate. I mean, you'd think I could find room for that. You know, the music is as eclectic and diverse as anything I've ever heard. I think you were pretty excited when we went to Rudy's. I think you liked Rudy's. And then you had this whole moment with your dad, which I think you should tell our listeners.
Okay, so I love a good dive bar. I mean, I love a good dive bar. And you walk in, it's, you know, it's here. Here's Rudy's in Hell's Kitchen. And the pig out front, Baron Von Swine, is just hanging out. And it's sort of like this shining beacon of light that you're there. So you get in, and it's like there's duct tape all over the seats. They're mismatched and miscolored. We were standing because it's a very tiny bar, and we couldn't really get a seat. And eventually we just start looking around, and this couple at a table behind us is like, hey, we're about to go if you want our spot. And it was just sort of one of those like places where you realize it's not a bunch of people fighting over who can sit down and be there, but it was very much a, hey, you're here, you're one of us, you know, come sit down, you know, we'll make room for you. So it was a really nice experience. And I had been sort of texting my dad along the way, and I told him that we were at Rudy's, and I sent him a picture of us outside in front of the pig. And the first thing I get back is, how many hot dogs have you eaten? And at first I'm about to respond, and then it hits me, how does he know this? And it turns out that on a side of my dad's life I had never really known about is that apparently he used to frequent Rudy's.
See there? Small world. It's a must do. So we revisited Rudy's later in the week. Oh, let me just say this too. We get back to the hotel, and we spot this -5 ice bar. And honestly, after all I've had, I said, you know what? I really want to go in there. And I think, though, I'm going to wait until tomorrow. So anyway, I'll just tell you what happened the next day when I took myself over to the -5. Anyway, all right, so the next day, we'll save that for later. The next day, let's see, what did we do? It's a little worrisome to me that I cannot remember. It just all was so stinking fast. I mean, we were shooting video. We were running all directions. We were in meetings. It runs in my mind. I really didn't eat a whole lot that day until Rudy's. I remember going in like a Dwayne Reed and buying cashews because we were so busy we didn't have time to stop. I remember buying tea and cashews and eating them out of my purse. But what was the first thing we really indulged in on the next day?
Well, you're forgetting one of the things we ended the night with, probably because you were in a pie coma because we stopped at Pie Face and we got hand pies. And what were the names of the things that you got? They had an interesting little name to them.
I think they called it a stick. It was a long, flat sort of pastry, almost like a phyllo or something, like a puff or more like a phyllo, really. And I got a, it was funny because we stopped and we were taking pictures, looking through the window, and the clerk was just looking at me and kind of smiling, and I was looking back, and she was just like, come on in, and, you know, I sort of waved like, oh, we're full, and we walked a couple steps, and I was like, oh, you know what, let's just do it. You're so right. Turned around, went in, and I got this. There were two of these really flat little sticks. And what got me about those was they looked like they had a little bit of crispness to them. And I'm all about texture. One was almond. It had like a dusting of powdered sugar and almonds on it. It was fantastic. The other one I got was chocolate, stuffed with chocolate. Fabulous. Nothing wrong with that. I just wanted to eat everything in the store. Now, they have big savory hand pies. It runs in my mind. They had, didn't they have like a Greek one or something? And but now, what is it you ended up with?
Oh, at first I was looking at the savory pies. And I will say the one we were at was right off of Times Square. And the woman at the counter is probably one of the best brand ambassadors for a brand I've ever seen in my life. She was absolutely fantastic, mm-hmm. told us all about it as a small chain that they were just getting around the city and where they had come from. She was wonderful. And she pointed me in the direction of the sweet pie counter. So I started looking over there and had to internalize a war between what fruit I'm going to take home, and ended up walking out the door with a blueberry and a sour cherry.
Well, what's interesting is that I took mine with me. I broke off a piece of the almond. It was fantastic. But they stayed very nicely in my room. So the next morning, I wolfed down that sucker with a big, tall cup of hot coffee. And it was fantastic. And I actually waited and had the chocolate one the next day. And it was every bit as good. So pie face, total recommendation. How could I forget that? It was a long time.
It was a pie coma.
You're so, my gosh, that must be it. But that next day that we were there, help me recall. And now I'm fast forwarding to dinner. We'll get to that. A very late dinner. It was fantastic. But where did we start outside from the cashews? I guess it was Rudy's next.
Yeah. Neither of us had really eaten that day other than some cashews and some tea from a Duane Reade. We went and did a circle through Central Park to kind of hang out and went through a couple meetings. Mm-hmm. And didn't really think about the fact that we didn't eat much, but really wanted to go hang out at Rudy's again, and ended up going through pitchers after not really eating anything. But the saving grace was we got to try their hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. And they were fantastic. The waitress came over and she said, I said, can we get a couple hot dogs? And she said, mustard and ketchup? So that may be sort of their way that they typically serve them. And I said, you know, I think I'll just have mustard. Locke says, I think I'll just have ketchup. And the next thing we know, she says, you know what? They're putting hot ones on. They're putting them on now. They'll be hot in about 5 minutes. Is that okay? Of course. I have a picture of Rudy's Blonde in front of me and you. It's all perfectly okay. Take all the time you need. So we did have an appointment, but we had loads of time. So that was, and you've been sort of dreaming out loud about the Rudy's Blonde ever since.
I have. I, even in the airport coming home yesterday, sort of had this dream of wanting some more of the Rudy's Blonde, because I was sitting there with another beer and I'm like, you know, it's okay, but it's not Rudy's Blonde. And it kind of hit me. I'm like, I'm going to have to like be there every night when I'm in New York now.
Oh, yeah. And I think didn't I read that they close at 4 a.m. and open back up at 8 or something like that? So, I mean, you know, you have no excuse to not go. I prefer the red. I'm not much of a light beer drinker, but that was really good. The light was good, and especially considering we hadn't had much to eat, that it was nice, very refreshing. I loved it. We ran across the street at that point to another pizza place. Do you even remember what it was?
I actually don't remember the name of it. It was over on 9th, around 44th, like 44th and 9th, surrounded by all of these burger restaurants that initially we had this big craving to go through and do lamb burgers. And then after Rudy's, we were sort of a mixture of needing to move on to go to a Broadway show and sort of full between the beer and the hot dogs. So we just stopped in and grabbed a slice of pepperoni just for the sake of, you know, doing it at a different pizza joint.
Yeah, and that worked out really well. I think I had a little pinch of your slice, which was just amazing. But yes, there was a burger joint that caught our eye. What was it, Five Napkin or something? And I apologize to you folks, that not that it matters to you, but we, you know, you always like to have customers, and we almost were one, but we did. We were on a schedule. The lamb burger is on my agenda for my next trip to town. That just looks so darn good. And if it's a good multi-napkin drippy burger, count me in. So that'll be my next one. So we go to Kinky Boots, which is a freaking awesome musical if you haven't seen it. Absolutely. Sorry, I bumped the mic. Absolutely loved everything about it. It was a great time. We were just about to, we considered walking over to Sardi's just for sort of nostalgic Broadway reasons. But Locke realized I had not been down to the Village, to Momofuku, Noodle Bar. Can we make it? Can we get a cab in this madness? We did. And you know what? I will always be indebted to you for that. What a great spot.
Yeah. You know, David Chang's restaurants just baffle me. I love them. And there's always just something that just sort of blows my mind every time I go in, whether it's Milk Bar or Ka or Noodle Bar or Sambar. It's just everything is just so fantastic. And one of the things that I love is I love taking new people there because the menu is just sort of crazy. It's a tiny, tiny bit familiar, and then it just takes crazy different directions. And I love watching people try new things there.
So I had, it was like a cold noodle, cold spicy noodle with cashews or something. Tell me what you had. Is that what I had? It was something like that. Do you remember the official name of it?
You had the chilled spicy, it was the chilled spicy ramen bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And me, it's, you know, I lived in Japan for a while and like I want a big bowl of hot steaming ramen. And the Momofuku ramen is one of my favorite things in the city. I love the flavor. I love all the textures in it. It's just this, it's a wonderful porky comfort food goodness.
Yeah, and you know, you just want to tip that bowl at the end and drink down all that. Because I took a swig of that juice, that pork, that flavor is like nothing I've ever had. And I also, because I had never had any of those steamed buns, I was so torn. And there was the nicest woman sitting to my left. We sat at the bar, which was really fun. So I was having a glass of wine and got to talking to the lady sitting next to me. And she said, oh, you have to try them. You have got to try them. There's two in an order. And I thought, well, okay, we'll manage one way or the other. Was totally torn on what to get. Wound up getting the ones with shiitake mushrooms. Best decision ever. And the waitress who was describing these said something about, well, they're a little bit crispy, shiitake. Well, that's what did it. Because again, you know, crispy, count me in. I'm all about that texture, and it did not disappoint. It was one of the best things I've ever had. So I single-handedly scarfed down two of those mushroom steamed buns and the giant bowl of the chilled spicy noodles that were loaded with cashews. So that was nothing short of mystical and awesome.
And then I had to introduce pieces of Milk Bar, which if you're unfamiliar with the setup, Milk Bar is sort of like it's a separate entity that they bring in some of the goodies into all the restaurants for dessert. So all of the restaurants will have different things off the Milk Bar menu alongside of their standard menu items. So you never really know what you're going to get from Milk Bar whenever you walk into like Noodle Bar. I've been there whenever they've had Lucky Charms flavored ice cream and they've had Captain Crunch truffles and all of these wonderful things. And the night we were in there, they had a sweet rice cake soft serve with a strawberry peanut butter blend. And they had peanut butter pretzel truffles. And then they had the Ritz cookie, which I hadn't tried and people had told me about. And I was so excited to see it on there. So then we had to have some of those as well.
I regret not getting more desserts. But seriously, at that point, especially after all that spiciness, I was just done. But I'll tell you what, that Ritz cookie is just the right mix of salty and sweet. It was absolutely wonderful. I wish I'd had room for the soft serve, but you know, you can only do so much. Now, we walk finally down and find the Limelight, or up, walking back to our hotel, And I'm old enough that I spent time in the limelight back in the 80s. It was fun. It was a great dance club. Now it's sort of, they're turning it into limelight shops. And sort of standing out in front of that for me was in so many ways surreal. That was a long flipping time ago. But I went in there, and on several occasions, one time my mom was visiting in the city when I lived there one summer, and I took my mom there. So I absolutely, it was just like a space and time, it was just the weirdest thing for me to be standing there. I loved it. But it was cool for you, too, because you finally got to see the limelight, at least the outside.
Yeah, you know, and for me, and I've had background in being a DJ, and I was always fascinated with the New York club scene and with the club kid movement. And, you know, there's the documentary in the book Party Monster that's about...
it's about me. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the book is Disco Bloodbath, but it's about the inner workings of that scene. And it's written by James St. James, who was involved with all of it at the time. And it is sort of become sort of a cult classic. And for my age, who didn't experience it, it's still sort of like this crazy beacon that you don't imagine really existed until you're right there in front of the doors. And then it's just this sort of crazy, surreal moment of realizing that that entire world was real. And it's just such a crazy thing that I really wish that we could have gotten inside to see what they're doing to it.
I peek through the front door and it looks like there's construction going on, but oh, it was very real. Trust me. I remember vividly some more vivid than others, but a lot of memories of that club. It was fun. Everybody was really nice. It was a great time. There were two other clubs in the city that summer that I was there. Palladium was my favorite. I loved Palladium. And there was another one called Area. Area was really super unusual. And that was a fun artsy club to go to. But those were the three I remember from when I'd spent time there. So, yeah, who knew? You'd be hanging out with a club kid, sort of. But standing out in front of that place, it seemed so quiet. You know, it was like, oh, gosh. Look how quiet it is, you know? Wish somebody would just bring it back the way it used to be. Man, that was a good time. So, anyway, we walked back up to the hotel. And that's the point where I said, you know what? This is my last night. I'm going to do this ice bar. So I go try the door, and it's locked. It was that late. I missed -5 ice bar. So we have a really long to-do list next time we go back. I think we better write all this down because I'm going to hit it. We're also going to hit Fat Witch Bakery. That was one that we didn't get to. I did not get into Warby Parker because I want a pair of prescription sunglasses. I want to get in there. What am I leaving? Oh, Big Gay Ice Cream.
Yeah, that's Big Gay Ice Cream and Fat Witch have been on my New York list forever. And I always somehow miss it, and I don't know why it keeps happening. Especially with Fat Witch, because I shell out the money to ship them here, which is no small feat to get, you know, brownies delivered overnight from New York here. But I love them so much, and I've never actually made it into the shop. And I always say, I'm going to do it, and then I always say, I'm going to make it over to Big Gay Ice Cream. And it's just somehow, between the Broadway and the ramen and the pizza and the beer, it just sort of gets lost in the mix. So now I'm gonna have to on my next trip make sure that those happen.
Yeah, and I'll help you make sure. And you know, stupid work gets in the way too. Like, what's that about? Meetings? Really? That's gonna knock me out of like eating and drinking. Okay, we've been almost 30 minutes, so we're gonna wrap this up. I am starving. It's like, right now, around, of course, you're hearing this later, but we're looking at it's after lunchtime, we're late, and I don't have Rudy's to go to, and I'm so bummed. Next time we're in the city. Anyway, if you have any ideas for us, must-see places, email us, joy.robertson@foodchannel.com. I'd love to hear your suggestions, and we'll try it out. Anyway, bon appetit to you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, maybe even in the Big Apple.